The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
Hear the world calling, but some don't listen. They're only trying to drag you back into prison, that's right.
Hi, welcome to What Have You. Okay, really, so this is Rachel Jankovic. And Becca Merkel needs to get a grip.
Here's the problem. This is the thing that's the situation. I'm squeaking my arm on the leather. That's all that is. So this is the second podcast that we have recorded today, because we tried to do the last one at like 5
o'clock. Who you gonna blame?
We tried to do it at like 5 o'clock, right before dinner. So,
well, as you know, we decided to do a podcast if we could just do it.
If we could just make it happen in the car. We decided the car, that'll be good. And so, you know,
we've had two failures.
Two failures, and both of them.
No, two locational failures.
Locational, that's the thing, because, see, we come up here to this weird spot where we're alone.
One thing that does
we're
not
in a
work.
Car.
If we're here, then what? Both of the ones that we tried to do in front of my house, had to leap out of the car and run away at one point.
No. The first one that we rejected, Rachel got out of the car like 6 times. So it would be like, hold on just a sec, I have to run get Shad. Oh, he's in the street. Just a minute. Oh, wait, what's that thing hanging out of the tree? Anyway, so there was that. Then today we tried it again, but it was like 5 o'clock. So Rachel remembered in the middle she had to do carpool. I got a call from my daughter needing to be picked up from track. One of the Jenks children was knocking on the window asking for an apple.
And then Shad just kicked the tires of the car once.
And then at one point, Rachel had to jump out of the car and chase a basketball down the road like half a block.
I was willing to let it ride, but I guess Becca felt like too much time alone in the car.
I was sitting in the car going, oh, she's chasing the ball.
She's catching it from the podcast.
A flash of speed. She caught the basketball. She's coming back up. So we thought, no.
Sounds good, though.
Let's put that one away for now.
But we should have just done it, because here we are reliving it.
Because here we're doing it. Yeah.
But the other time that we failed, I realized, was that we did one at night.
Yeah.
In which we were pretty senseless. We were not on topic, or we were making up words that were not.
Misunderstanding each other.
Yeah. And so then we didn't send that one on. But that one's waiting in the wings.
And if we forget or we don't manage to record one, that one might pop loose.
Yeah. But it will be early on. The problem with this one is that then the next one, we're talking the whole time like the last one came out. So we covered bread and all this other
stuff. I think in episode 3, we kept talking about that time that we were so goofy in the car.
Yeah, but we never shared it.
But we kept it under wraps, and you'll only hear it if things get desperate.
Yeah, if we fail to deliver a new episode.
But anyway, today, we ended up finally at the point when we were both getting phone calls and Rachel was running after basketballs through neighborhoods. We were like,
Let's try again later.
So now it's dark. We both finished dinner. We got that done. We came out. So once again, it's evening, and we're going to see how we do.
I know we might be making up words again.
We might misunderstand.
Beck, what have you been doing other than failing to execute a podcast with me?
There have been a few podcast flops, but
what have you been doing?
Well,
you said bread. You know what?
Well, I'm working on bread. But the other thing is, in one of our podcasts that we rejected for quality reasons.
I know the listeners here are wondering.
My girls are sleeping in their bedroom now.
Victory.
Yeah, we got that done. So I just feel like I should throw that out there as a praise report that I did. We talked about that.
I finished the wedding.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more to do. Well, there's a lot more to do, but the walls are painted, the ceiling is mudded. Ta-da. So that's very exciting.
That's great.
That got done. And the other thing I've been not doing is getting my seeds for my garden planted. I have them all there. I start stuff from seed. And so I have the seed packets, and I got them all ordered. And
I think you said in a previous one that you needed to do it.
Yeah, but I think then we threw away that previous one.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think you brought
it up. Yeah, we've talked about it. But the thing is, let me just say that I have really settled in on a method for planting seeds that I love to death. So we've done it for a few years now, and it's been hugely successful. But we have some, like, grow lights that we put, you know, in the house, and we start stuff early. Not that early, because now it's the end of March, and I've been meaning to do this for a whole month, and the stupid seeds have been sitting there. But life has been happening. Anyway, I feel like there's still time. But we go to the recycling center, and we get a whole bunch of plastic drinking, like, water bottles, like little drinking size ones.
This now.
And then cut them in half, right? And you fill the bottom half with water, and then the top half you turn upside down and set it inside, so the little nozzle that you drink out of is down in the water, and you plug the nozzle with some fabric, like felt works fine. Then you fill that part with soil, plant the seed, and so it's being watered from underneath, and you don't have to water it all the time. You just, like, once a week have to go back through and fill up the bottom half of those water bottles. And tomatoes are, like, crazy for that. And they grow amazingly well. So under the grow lights and then with that little method. So I have a whole garbage bag full of water bottles sitting at home that I need to cut and get that done.
Cut and paste.
And I have a bunch of fun heirloom tomato seeds and some artichoke seeds. And hope springs eternal in March. that we will actually have a successful garden.
Meanwhile, I have no hope of gardening. That, to me, the dream is maybe just to keep the dog from trampling the grass to death.
I don't let the dog near the garden, so the grass gets trampled to death.
I don't have a garden separate from grass.
I've learned to keep my aspirations low on the grass. That's what I've done. anyway, so...
And you've been making bread. You've been on the bread kick.
I have been on a bread flail because I've made a lot of bread over the years. I've had bread that I love. I've had recipes that I swear by. We go through phases, you know. But lately, it's been the sourdough mountain. And I hate sourdough bread. Or I did. I previously hated sourdough bread. So I was never interested. But yes, Rachel has been serious about sourdough. I have been flailing about sourdough.
I was
sourdough.
Serious. This is one of the things we talked about in the Too Tired podcast. I was working.
The Too Tired podcast.
The Way Too Tired, yeah. I was working on starting a sourdough starter. Like, so doing a culture and
she
then
did
a starter.
It straight from the air. Like, I'm going to grab some yeast from
I
the
harnessed
air.
The wild yeast.
She got out
the air.
Her butterfly net.
Yeah, but I was pretty for sure that after a fortnight of work on this starter that I would fail to make a loaf that looked good. But after,
Rachel's loaves are beautiful.
Turning out really well. So,
Rachel's doing it the way of someone who has studied and learned about how to do it.
No.
I've been just flopping around, turning out a loaf every so often. Most of the time throwing it away. Anyway, and we talked about this earlier today, but I'm having a horrible case of I can't let the sourdough beat me. Mm-mm. I've got to achieve it.
Yeah,
And then I can set it aside. But it actually, the problem is, it's really, really good bread. And I don't like sourdough, but this doesn't taste like, it's just a really flavorful bread.
So, back when I was in college, I think, I was in college. I decided I'd always loved bagels. And plus, this was, I think, the height of that weird bagel craze that happened suddenly.
There was, can I just
bagel
pause?
Shops that
parentheses,
erupted?
Parentheses. We had a weird resurgence of bagels in Moscow, and it was because one little bagel shop started. Everyone got crazy for bagel sandwiches. Then everyone in Moscow thought...
I think
thought,
it was kind of a thing.
Yeah,
a
but everybody thought bagel shops. That's where the money is. And everybody started a bagel shop. And
by
they all
everyone,
put each other,
you mean like three people, but
well,
there were
everyone.
Too many in Moscow.
And then they all put each other out of business. So then we had a dearth of bagels.
Now you can't only get a grocery store, but there was a minute there where we had like a bagel factory
fresh,
and a
like,
bagel place.
Fresh
and a bagel,
bagel.
Yeah.
No, we do have a bagel place downtown.
That, yeah, I've never
but
been
we
there.
But we went through yes. a time where there
right,
were no
but
bagels.
I always liked bagels. And I remember it from, actually, specifically Grandpa Jim buying us bagels in Annapolis. I remember, like, really? Us walking to a bakery that was near where we were staying, and he bought us bagels. And I remember
Crazy.
Having a moment. I was probably in, like, first grade, but
you
I had.
Were,
yeah,
I
had a moment with a bagel where I remember being like, this is amazing. Like, this is so good. I love bagels. I just love bagels. And I didn't
That's
then.
That's funny.
Well, yeah, I remember. And I remember because Grandpa Jim told me to stop thanking him. He was like, sometimes it's enough to say thank you. Like,
see, I remember being at a friend's house one time when I was a kid, and the friend just wanted to go play Barbies. And she was kind of, it was just kind of sketchy what she wanted to do
yeah.
with the Barbies. And I was like, meh. So I went downstairs and helped her mom make bagels. So
nice.
I remember I learned how to shape bagels while she was upstairs having, like,
Barbie time
in the Barbie house.
Well, the funny thing is that so in college sometime, I was like, I should just make bagels. And so I got out the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, looked up a bagel, whipped up a bagel. And it was terrible bagel. Terrible. Like
more
it,
of a muffin.
It was kind of like, no, not muffiny. It was the opposite. It was like really enormous bad calamari. Like
spongy and chewy.
No, it was like, no, just like weird and kind of, it was like little bands, like little tight bands
okay.
of not good. It was like
sure.
got tough and not, I really don't know what I did wrong with it because whatever. But I think that I wrote off the recipe. I was like, this recipe stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this
plate of oogly bagels has nothing to do with my talent.
It
had nothing to do with my interpretation.
It was a spiritual awakening for Rachel.
It was.
It was like a come to Jesus moment.
It was, except for it happened like it was a delayed thing. Because
yeah.
I made those, I wrote it off. And then it was like sometime I was just really convicted of like, convicted with a little C, except for really I was. That's what's funny is I was like, what if that was a perfectly fine recipe and I stunk? Like, what if that wasn't
user error?
Yeah. And like, what if was the question? Like, let's be honest, Rachel, was that a bad recipe or are you a bad bagel maker? And so because of that, I binged on bagels. I was like,
yeah.
I'll make the same recipe
over and over.
And mom, some spiritual insight, I know not where from, didn't say anything about it. Just let me crank off with a huge batch of 24 bagels every other day.
She's probably like, flour's cheap.
She's like, whatever. It's keeping her busy. We'll let her do it.
She's gaining wisdom.
She's gaining wisdom. But the funny thing is I am, because here I am like 15 years. Well, how old am I? I don't know. Too long ago now.
Too late in the
here
year.
Here I am.
To
I
do
can't
math.
Do that kind of math. Anyways, here I am all these years later still remembering what I learned.
Well,
then. I made
yeah.
the same recipe. There's a lot of variables in that particular recipe because you boil the bagels. So it's how long you mix it, how long it rises, how you shape it, then you boil it, and then you broil them, and then, or you broil them, then you boil them, and then you bake them.
You broil them first? I never
that,
broil
that,
them.
I don't now, but that recipe called for broiling.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think to like get that start, that crusty,
yeah,
whatever.
But the whole thing is like, do you boil them for 45 seconds aside or
yeah.
30 seconds aside?
It was very busy, the whole thing.
But it makes a difference. The whole thing makes a difference.
Every like, day, I was making the same recipe every other day for a while or something. And every time they were turning out different. Like, there were times that it was, in the final bake, it was blowing the seams of the crust from the boiling. And then it was times when it just randomly got a bunch of little bubbles all over the surface that would
yeah.
blister, like little blisters when you would broil it.
But I love that feeling of getting to know it, where you suddenly you're like,
yeah.
okay, wait, now I know what's causing
that. So at the very
that.
End, I was like making that same recipe, but the bagels would turn out the same every time. Like I was getting what I
yeah.
wanted out of the bagels. And the funny part is they were totally delicious.
Yeah.
So from overgrown, nasty calamari rings to really luscious, good bagels.
Yeah.
And it was all the same recipe. And just me trying it over and over again.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I know that everyone in the whole world has watched the show except me. But Ben was out of town a couple weeks ago, and so I watched The Great British Bake Off. And have you ever watched that?
My kids have watched part of that.
Yeah, well, the thing about it that really just kind of blessed me, I only watched a couple episodes, but you have Mary Berry, and when we were living in England, Mary Berry was everything. It was like every grocery store flyer that came out, it was like Mary Berry's choice for... So I knew her name because she was like the Martha Stewart, or like... she was like Betty Crocker.
Yeah,
she was the Betty Crocker of England. But I never, like, watched her do anything. I just knew that she was like, oh, well, everyone bows to Mary Berry's
authority
about how a fairy cake should go. Anyway, so she and this other guy are judging, and they're making these hilarious things. So part of me loved it because it was like, oh, my gosh, they're making suet pudding. And no one in America has ever heard of a suet pudding. But, you know, it's stuff that, like, it made me kind of nostalgic for when we lived there. But... she's judging all of these people, and there was this little lady, and she was like maybe in her 50s, and she just was a very ordinary woman, you know, like just very ordinary, and she was nailing it every time on every little thing. And Mary Berry would be like, your texture is perfect here, and you could tell that it's a woman who spent her life doing that, but it was just cooking for her family and cooking for her kids and cooking for her grandkids, and she knows what she's doing.
She recognizes,
she's like, oh, suet pudding or savory biscuits. Let me make you my savory biscuit that's the favorite with the family. And it's just really fun to see that excellence and craft of somebody who's just a really, like, she looked like a nice little ordinary.
So what Becca's saying woman. Is that maybe my long term dream is to be a really ordinary.
No, I like seeing excellence in the ordinary. Because the thing
it's like the idea. I aspire to be a very plain Jane, ordinary lady.
No, it's not
who has a savory biscuit up her sleeve. And actually, I'm going to say, I'd be fine with that.
But the thing is, okay, then there's Nigella Lawson, who I also love.
Like, no, I have more concerns with Nigella. Nigella and the bedroom eyes over leftovers.
Yeah, but so here's weird. The thing. Now, we have a visitor in our weird place. Okay, so should we lock the doors?
Pretty sure they're already locked if you're in Vista.
It's a Navista car.
What is the...
Anyway.
Now they're leaving.
They're leaving. It's okay. They're worried about us. They think we're up here smoking pot. Okay. But the point
or they were coming to smoke
so
pot.
Nigella Lawson, what I love about her is that she's a fantastic writer. I'm not so sure she's an amazing cook, but she's a great writer.
Yeah, she
and
is.
She makes it sound, aside from her great morality problems, I do enjoy her writing quite a lot. But she is not an ordinary woman who's been just cooking for the children and the husband. And that's the part that I was talking about. That's the thing I love, is that she was... This is a woman who's just been feeding people and getting amazing at it.
And she's feeding them because she likes them. And Nigella is doing that.
But Nigella has a whole lot of showmanship involved.
Yeah.
And that's fun. I mean, she's a great writer. She makes anything sound
good. I don't really
follow
her, but I did. I loved when her first book came out, How to Be a Domestic Goddess. I just would read the recipes for her writing.
Just for her writing. Yeah, because she was amazing. She's an amazing writer. And she can make it sound fantastic even when it looks like a hideous little unit.
Yeah, but lots of stuff of hers. I think the funniest thing I read of Nigella's was where she was like a big intro to American style pancakes.
Yeah.
She was like, you will not believe what these pancakes are like. She's like, you don't even know. They're like thicker and puffy.
Well, because their pancakes are
hot.
They're crepes.
And then she even included, here's the news, that children love them with butter and syrup. And I was like, where has Nigella been her whole life? England, apparently, is where she's been her whole life.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I was thinking, it's funny when something is so commonplace here.
Yeah.
That
well, one of the things that we got so killed about was just the funniness of vocab not translating. So when we say pancake, they think crepe. But then they say flapjack, and we think pancake. But what they mean is granola bar, like homemade granola bar.
Oh, they call that flapjack?
Yeah, it's like a crunchy,
that's weird,
oaty, honey, like hard, biscuity thing that you take off a big chunk of it and crunch, crunch, crunch. That's a flak. That's a flapjack. And so, anyway, and then there's biscuits.
I like it where you're like a short stack of crepes.
Flapjacks.
Give me a stack of crepes with butter and syrup on it.
I know. And so pancake day, which happens.
Speaking of crepes, can I take a moment?
Please.
Sorry.
Please.
Food 52, that cookbook that you gave me for Christmas.
Yeah.
Genius recipes. It's a great cookbook. And but there is a crepe recipe in that. That just
seems, oh my gosh, you've so told me
beyond,
about this.
So beyond the pale.
Sounds terrible.
Sounds so evil. And it's a cookbook that really is excellent. Like every recipe we've tried in there has been spectacular.
Good. Yeah, it's good stuff.
And but the crepe recipe, it looked so evil that we tried it immediately. We were like, we have to know.
Is it like the mock apple pie on the Ritz box?
Well, I've never tried that, though.
Well, that
looks
evil.
Looks so evil that I never got near checking it out. This one is, but that reminds me of my good idea for a potluck. We should invite. Okay, but anyways, I'll come back to that. This is a tortilla. It is basically a French toasted tortilla. And you take a tortilla, so they, on an egg, you whisk up. On an egg, on a plate. Oh man, we might have to ditch this episode too. On a plate, you whisk up an egg with a teaspoon of cream, of heavy cream.
One teaspoon? That's like nothing.
Yeah, it's just a little glosh. It's
little
one egg.
Driblet.
It's one egg, so you don't need really that much.
I still would have gone with at least a tablespoon.
Well, I can't say that a tablespoon for one egg.
Heck
no.
Yes.
Okay, well,
if I was French toasting,
let's just keep an eye on the ball here. You just glosh a little whipping cream in there, and then you lay a tortilla in it, and then you put some butter in a nonstick pan or whatever, put the tortilla in it, and then it says, and I don't know why, to pour the remainder from the plate on top of the tortilla and rub it in with your hand while it's cooking. That part
I think you could probably make that more streamlined.
I just flipped it in the plate. Yeah. After like the first one, I was like, I don't believe you that I had to do that. Because you can flip it and kind of rub it, make sure it gets all the parts. But the thing is it's super good. Like, and way faster and easier for...
But do you have to whip up an egg per crepe?
Well, you wouldn't if you were doing our method, which
could
was
just
dip-dipping.
Could you just do it in a pie plate and then just...
Yeah, you could if you were going to do that. But the thing is that they're actually really good, and they're
kind of
more filling than, so like if you were going to do like chicken, I had leftover chicken curry, so I was like, oh, I'll make a salad and we'll have like chicken curry crepes with it. And it was really good.
Color me skeptical, because the thing is, like, I told you I was just watching the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
But there was a man there trying to make puff pastry by beating the butter right in with the whole mess of dough. And, well, that's my feeling, is that, like, that's not how you make puff pastry. You can't do it that way.
The thing is that you need to try it.
Scathing remarks from the judges, and I was like, told you so.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, but that's like saying make a lemon meringue pie by not removing the yolks from the meringue. It's like, well, you're going to have a hard row to hoe
with that. Well, he was saying you can either fold the butter into the pastry, or you can just fold the pastry into the butter, and I was like, no, I don't think so.
I'm doubting you.
But anyways.
So, no.
You're sticking by it, though.
No,
you think it's good?
Well, I would not recommend it as a replacement in your life for all crepes. Because not like better
thinner.
Than a crepe. Yeah. But it is totally delicious in an impossible way. It's really good. And with berries, like we just threw berries and powdered sugar on them. My kids were crazy for them. And they actually were surprisingly...
Well,
not,
it's better than a tortilla with berries,
which would be gross. But the thing that's weird is I think the way it cooks, it ends up really steaming the tortilla so much that it does not have a tortilla texture.
Okay.
It does not come off like a lightly coated tortilla. It doesn't. You just need to try it, because what are you going to lose? You know, it's just the. But your comment about the Ritz mock apple pie made me think about my long held. Dreams of having a party where you have to bring a recipe off of the back of a box. Like a potluck.
Well,
but something obscure, like the colored marshmallows. Mm. Like, go buy those and then make the recipe
or
that's on the back of the lime. The key
off the
lime.
Back of the, like, pineapple ring can?
Yes, exactly.
Or the maraschino cherries.
There's probably something on there. It's probably a Shirley Temple, though. But I was thinking, like, the key lime marshmallows.
What? Go, who makes those?
There's just weird marshmallows out there in the world. But you go and you buy a green marshmallow bag, and then you commit to making whatever's on the back. Because somebody brewed up a weird recipe for those. You know, so they did.
Tacky potluck extravaganza.
Kinda, yeah. It's a dream.
And then we'll watch Lawrence Welk.
Oh my word. This would be such a good party.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Lawrence Welk and eat stuff off of the back of the box.
See if you can find a jumpsuit to wear.
Yes.
Come with a
jumpsuit. Who's going to wear the jumpsuit? Men or women?
Maybe both.
My granddad's old aviator suit suits.
Party. Or those polyester double knit one pieces that the guys would wear in back in the day.
But that wasn't a jumpsuit. That was a...
What would you call it?
It was just like a leisure suit.
The one piecers?
One piece suits?
Yes. I'm not making this up.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm not.
Okay, are we going overtime here?
Probably. Hold on, let's turn the light on. It's
what
dark.
Time are we on here?
Oh, we're talking so much about recipe weirdness. Okay, think of something spiritual to say. Okay.
Pressure's on! Make it spiritual fast!
Come up with an application.
All right,
Becca.
Application. Make an application from your insights about the Great British Bake Off.
No, that's a pop quiz I can't achieve on. Okay. Oh my goodness. No, here's the problem. Let me just say that we had a really thoughtful conversation earlier.
We should just splice these two episodes together.
We could splice them.
I think we should just make someone edit us.
We drew some good morals from the universe. I talked about Mount Vernon. Rachel talked about the wives of the reformers. We actually did. I'm not
making
this up.
Here we are.
But it's like, oh, it's
losing our grip on the spiritual at night.
Yeah.
Oh, so bad.
No, I don't.
So I'll tell you, this is very off topic, but the other day I ran into a friend at Goodwill. And
you started to tell me the story earlier.
Yeah, I know. That's why I came back.
And then maybe you had to run after.
Do you remember when I called you? Well, yeah, do you remember when I called you from Goodwill to tell you that the thing that actually inspires anger in me is those brownie pans?
You did.
I get so offended by those.
Can I just say that I feel like we should both take a moment to clarify that we do shop in other places besides Goodwill. Because why is it that we only ever talk about Goodwill?
I don't know. I think it's because Goodwill's the only interesting place I go, you know? There's like, what am I going to say about what I saw at Winco? I mean, I'm always at Winco. Like,
but
Walmart.
I'm just saying, it's not like we do shop exclusively at Goodwill.
No, the only times I feel really I come away with shopping stories is probably Goodwill.
I just feel like we need to make that clear.
Guys, I don't usually only go to Goodwill.
Saks Fifth Avenue is also another.
Main Street Moscow is loaded with all of the best shops.
Neiman Marcus.
Yeah. Anyways, the point is, I'm in the aisle and I get totally, totally distracted chatting with a friend. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Because it is a box that was a kit for making pizza cones.
Huh?
It's exactly how I felt.
Wait.
A pizza cone.
So like you make the crust into a cone?
Yeah, you roll
and then you stuff
and then
it
you
up
just
with
fill
pepperoni?
It up with melted cheese
wads.
Oh, it looks so evil. It's so evil. And I say,
just like make a calzone. Call it a day.
Well,
make a calzone.
But the thing is a calzone
like
does
why
not
turn it
give
in,
you.
It's like a little cornucopia. Like a pizza cornucopia.
Yeah, but because it's such an unfeasible shape for pizza, because we all know what happens when pizza blows a hole, you know, like a calzone or something.
Yeah.
Then, so they have it's like a little thing that you wrap the dough around and
yeah, like
a little special wheel that you... that looks like a citrus reamer, but different shape. Yeah, and then a little special wheel to seal the dough to itself. And then like special little stand that holds the thing once you fill it up with stuff. So it was like all these weird accessories. And
I wonder why
end,
it was at Goodwill.
Yeah, I know, right? Unopened, untouched, unfazed. And in the end, you've come out with a little wire pedestal with a pizza cone in it. That was like, I say to my friend Raya, I was like, good heavens, like, look at that. And she says, oh, really? That looks like something you would do with your kids. And I was like, where have I gone wrong that I made people think I would be into a pizza cone? Plus, I totally saw her point that I do weird things, but not the pizza cone. Last whatever time we my internal about... moral compass is, it rules out pizza cones.
Yeah, you were talking about buying a lot of basket reeds.
Yeah, I do all kinds of... Well, but I've done worse things than pizza cones by a long shot. But for whatever reason, that offends me to buy the equipment to make a pizza cone.
Well, it's kind of like if somebody tells you, like, you know, oh, I found somebody who looks just like you or something. And they show you the picture and you're like, please stop.
You're like, are you trying to be mean? Or what? What is it that's happening?
That's really funny. Or I love that it just reminded me of you. And you're like, oh dear.
Did it
now. Oh dear, dear.
Did it now. That's really funny. Anyways, why did I bring that up? Oh, because it was like 9 miles worse than the brownie pan that I told you. Just it's like things. It's
Rachel
really dumb,
fell into
though.
Sin about a brownie pan.
No, it like it actually just puts me off my cheese to think of having a full piece of gridded metal that is only to be used to separate brownies.
Well, because think of washing that turkey.
Yes, that's what I mean. What on earth? Because then it would like think of if you left on the counter and the chocolate all solidified, and then you would never get it off. You'd be chipping it off with a knife trying
to. You'd be like getting out your little water pick.
It's the hard time. See, that's the thing. Is I'm like, it's not okay. It's not okay that we have this being offered to us.
No, it's like, just use a plastic knife. That's the way to cut
bread. But on the other hand, what I will do is store brat forms and then special bread proofing bins that I stuff in my closet.
And as we heard in the earlier podcast that is deleted forever, you have a special knife for slashing your special dough and... And she has the basket forms called
the brat form.
Brat forms that make the beautiful loaf, like the beautiful loaf.
But
of
this
bread.
Is the thing is, but I don't know what I'm saying.
She'll say
silly that I don't mind those things.
Yes
being
to
in
the
my...
brat form, no to a pizza cone.
Well, a pizza cone equipment.
Anyway, okay, so we've managed to have a whole podcast with basically nothing edifying. However. Let's end it with, what is your one sort of splurgy ingredient that you keep in your kitchen? It doesn't have to be food. It just has to be like a equipment or an ingredient or what is it that you can't live without, that you spend the money on it?
You go first on that.
Really? I know what yours is.
What is it?
Parchment paper. Not parchment paper, but special parchment paper. Anyway, mine is Malden salt. Because
pyramid salt.
Malden salt is my favoriteest salt in the whole world.
Have you ever bought Florida Cell?
Maybe, but I also have a weird personal commitment to Malden salt. Because it's... Well, now we can actually just buy it at grocery stores here, but when we first... came back from England. The only place to get it was Williams-Sonoma, and it was like $10 a box or something absurd. But I did get badly attached to it in England, and it's sea salt from Malden, which is on the coast of England, and it has this tragic Anglo-Saxon poem, The Battle of Malden, that's like from right there, and we took the kids out to Malden to see it, and of course had to read them the poem in the car, and Ben made them reenact the like tragic Viking battle. We have these great pictures of Judah with the Vikings charging across the mud flats. And the other kids are like the tragic Saxons who are defending.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great poem. It's a good poem. And the salt is incredible, and it's flaky, and so you get a crunch to the salt without it being too salty. Like, you actually get the texture.
It's not just flaky. It makes pyramids.
Yeah, it does. But it's not always in pyramids. It's like, it's in
flakes. Yeah, but it's flakes, shards of pyramids.
But the thing is, you can sprinkle molten salt on top, and you can actually get a texture of salt on it, but without having to be overly salty. And I know that's true of other sea salt, but I just really am fond of molten.
I recently went deep on Florida Cell, what that is, and it's sea salt. Mm-hmm. The regular sea salt that we...
Yeah.
Anywhere. I need to look into what the heck with this salt harvesting processes. But sea salt is the regular salt that comes out the bottom of the salt harvesting equipment.
Okay.
Florida Cell, which is the gray salt that is what naturally forms on the top of the, like, these, like, sluicing trays or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know how the one sea salt's falling out the bottom when the other stuff is on water on the top. I don't know how that goes. Huh. But it's more expensive because it has to be hand harvested in, like, perfect condition with these little rakes that people are raking it off the top of these sluicy things. And it's gray because of, like, additional minerals and stuff that's in it. Mm-hmm. So it's more, but it's like salt, it's like the cheap product from the same harvest. And then the expensive harvest that had to be like hand harvested.
Like olive oil versus extra virgin olive oil.
Right. It's like grades of, but it can't be, it has to be hand raked in the special weathers and the special sunshines. Yeah.
Okay. So now that's me, molten salt. I love it to death.
Yeah.
And I actually, I pay for it now. We used to come home with our suitcases, like, packed full of molten salt.
I have a real low-sodium diet.
I love molten salt.
I know. It's really good. And I'm flat
out of it. Like, I'm totally out of it right now. And I just kind of am feeling the pain, which is why probably I'm bringing this up right now. How about you?
You wanted me to talk about my parchment.
Well, yeah, your parchment. That's the thing that you treasure.
Yes, I buy parchment. It's not technically parchment. It's sheet pan liners. I think it's a silicone treated thing. I don't know. It's a little thinner than, like, the box of parchment. It's like a little thinner, but
I just buy the big Costco roll of parchment, but you buy the sheets, and I can see a real benefit to that, but I've never done it myself.
Yeah, I've been doing this for years, and I use them all the time. I use sheets of parchment pretty much daily. Like, I used it multiple times today, and I did not make cookies or anything. I used it, like, when I peel a butternut squash, I put it on the counter, I peeled the whole thing, and then I wad it up and throw it away.
I think I use sheets of foil for that, because I buy the individual sheets of foil. So, like, I got out my salmon, and I laid it out to salt and pepper both sides, and I just
My pork roast on it. I put it on a big sheet of this. Anyways, I buy the box of 1,000. It's, like, $40 at the restaurant supply store. And I buy the full sheet pan size. So if I was making cookies, I fold it in half and put the cookies on that. But it's very quick and easy and quick cleanup. But I use it all the time for all kinds of kitchen tasks. And I've been doing that for maybe 10 years now. Like, a lot of years. Yeah. And I think I'm maybe on my fifth box. Yeah. Like, I mean, I use it even as, like, emergency tissue paper in gifts. I mean, that stuff is all day long being used at our house, and it is so worth the money because it doesn't curl on the edges. It doesn't
because a roll of parchment
is such a pain because you go to line the thing and then it whoop up in the middle, and this stays where you put it.
I buy the big jumbo Costco roll, so it's big enough that it doesn't curl up too bad. But if I buy the little cheapy grocery store one, it just curls into a little, like,
hideous. Hate that. And then I feel like you're just defeating everything anymore, you know. And I love what I do for the cookies as I make them. And then I pull the whole sheet off onto the table. I don't transfer it to a cooling rack.
Yeah.
I just pull the sheet off on the table.
And plus it keeps your pans in such better shape.
My pans are not in good shape, but think how much worse they would be.
Exactly.
Think how much worse they would be.
So we managed to do that whole entire thing without our just, you know, godly insights from earlier today. But it's what you get when you get us after.
I think maybe we need a splice earlier and later.
Or maybe next time we'll only... Well, we kind of made up for it. Last time we just talked about NSA and, like, the benefits of education. Yeah. And so, you know, we just talked about recipe drama this time. To compensate for that.
I guess.
That is how it is. It's late. It's dark.
Too late to be out. Too cold to be wet.
That's what my son, when he was like 2, 3, coined that.
He would sing. It's too late to be out. Too cold to be wet. Too cold to be wet. Too cold to be wet.
Yeah. Too late to be out. Cold to be wet. It's pretty much where we are. All right. So, all right. We got to go. We will talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
New St. Andrews College thanks you for listening.